Welcome to Should Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Chris Massaro, professional sports bettor, will join us. We will go over the Kentucky Derby, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. He's a Boston guy, so got to get his thoughts on the Red Sox and Cora getting fired and maybe even the Patriots too. And before I get into basketball, that is the first bet I've made here. I think I mentioned it the other day, but to me, Patriots under 9.5, man. You look at that schedule, first place schedule. Well, they play, it's brutal. The Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, all the first place teams, the Bills twice. So it means the Jags. They play the Bears, the Packers, Vikings. I mean, it's a really good Lions. That's a really tough schedule here. So to me, everything with the turmoil and the regression coming with New England is a bet for me under 9.5 on New England. So get excited to get Chris's thoughts on that, see if I'm on the right path. But we'll start with the NBA. 3 game 6s coming up on Friday. And by the way, what happened on Thursday night? And we're recording this second half of Sixers, Celtics, and Nuggets and Timberwolves still to come. So we'll see how many game sevens we get there. But I mean, Boston's just not that good. Boston, this idea that they're just going to walk into the finals. And maybe they win this series here. Maybe by the time they record this, they have won this series. But by the time you listen to this, the East is wide open. It'll get to the Magic in a second. If Wagner did not get hurt, if Wagner can somehow get back and Orlando can move on, man, they are super live to go to a final, to go to a conference final. But what happened in Atlanta? A week ago, we're doing the show right after the draft is concluding. And Atlanta's up in the series 2-1. They win game 3 by a point. And, you're up 2-1, and you got game 4 at home, and you get game 6 at home. So you got 2 of the next 3 at home. Coin flip series, at best. You're up 2-1, and you got 2 of the next 3 at home. They not only lose the series, the game was, just pick your score. It actually led 9-5 at one point. They were down 72-22 at one point. I mean, it's hard to believe. These aren't real scores, and it obviously got worse. A 61-point game, but 72-22, like 6 minutes into that, in the second quarter. This is, all right, a team pulls away up 50 in a playoff game. That almost never happens, but 6 minutes into the second quarter, it's like not even a 1-16 game, not even a 1-16 in the women's. It's like a professional team playing a high school team. It's the NBA playoffs, and a solid Atlanta team, a team that won a couple games in this series. Wow. Just an emphatic win for the Knicks, as emphatic as it gets, as they will move on here to the second round. But let's get to the 3 games here on Friday before we get to Chris. Detroit and Orlando. Detroit's a 3.5-point road favorite. Cleveland at Toronto. Cleveland's a 3.5-point road favorite. And the Rockets and Lakers. Rockets a 3.5-point home favorite. So all 3.5s at the moment. I'll start with Orlando. I hope they get it done. I do actually think they can win it without Wagner. It does concern me. Like, man, you make these 55-1, 80-1 bets. It happened with UConn. It happened with Miami. I hope this is not another situation where you get that number and all of a sudden it's 3-1 and they're leading and the bracket might break right for them. It looked for a minute like Toronto was going to be up 3-2. You got to have everything go perfectly, and I don't want this to be another situation where you get a great number and it falls just short, although this is obviously, we're still a ways away from falling just short. But, man, you're going to have everything go your way where you hit these 55-1, those type of bets. You can't have one of your best players get hurt. Hopefully they can overcome that. I've been saying all series, this is a bad matchup for Detroit. They can't out physically, all of those things. I think those do apply. But so I'm going to take Orlando here plus the 3.5. Detroit's been shaky on the road. This is a young team still facing elimination. They just don't have a lot of shooting. I'll figure out a way. Paolo's got to make some shots, some free throws. When he makes his shots, he's just a tremendous offensive player. He's big. He can get to the basket. He's got a lot. There's a lot to like about his game. Hopefully he can get it done here. I do like Orlando plus the 3.5. I would also take Toronto plus the 3.5. I had fewer concerns about this Cavs team coming to the playoffs for whatever reason. I think they'll be all right, at least in this series. Harden could take a back seat. Maybe the past playoff failures of the Cavs and of Harden are underrating them. They got it done the other night, and that was a lot in part to Dennis Schroeder, who kind of saved their season because they were down 3-2. I'm not sure if they're getting off the map. And maybe they win this one and they can kind of settle in. They survived their scare, but it would only be Toronto for me in this one, although I do think the Cavs figure out a way to get a split and move on to the next round, hopefully to take the Magic. But yeah, the Raptors, and there was a point there where the Raptors, it looked like, had a shot there. And the Raptors are missing some guys. We've got some guys banged up, so keep that in mind. But it would only be the Raptors plus the 3.5 here. For me, it would be the home dogs. In the third game, and I talked about this Sunday with John Jastrzemski. I talked a little bit about it Monday with Dave after the game and on here, I think. I think this is going to 7, and I think the Rockets are winning. I like the Rockets in game number 6. They just have advantages in terms of athleticism, in terms of youth. Lakers look worn down. Rockets have figured, you know what, we can go at Luke Kennard on defense. There's just a lot of flush. There's a reason the Rockets, even though it was probably not the right price, the Rockets opened some spots in the series minus 1,200. I mean, there's a reason. I know there's no Durant now, and it's these are evenish teams, but LeBron, who's played all these minutes, and you wonder, he's played all these minutes. Do they, similar to game 3, do they get to a point where if the Lakers are down in the second half, you know, 12-15, they say, you know what, let's take our shot at home in game 7. Let's not burn more minutes for LeBron and just kind of punt and get ready and approach it that way. I would think that's possible, but I do think Houston, and they did a terrible job closing out the game 5, just some boneheaded plays. But I think the Rockets, with their youth, their athleticism at home, I do think this is going 7. As we know, nobody's ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the NBA. It's happened a couple times in hockey, as we know it happened in baseball. It's going to happen at some point. I keep saying this. At some point, it will happen. If you live long enough, you will see a 3-0 team in the NBA come back and win the series. We almost had it a few years ago. Tatum got hurt. Otherwise, they might have. The Celtics might have. I think it's happening. I think the Rockets win this game, and I think Game 7 is a toss-up, and I do think Houston wins. And can you imagine the takes and the anti-LeBron stuff and the LeBron jokes? If LeBron is on the team to blow the first ever 3-0 lead in the playoffs, that would be, I mean, it's going to be exhausting from just, people taking it too far that hate LeBron, people that are defending LeBron. Well, I mean, it'd just be tedious either way. And it would really be bizarre to think about. I mean, you think about how it's never happened and it finally happens and LeBron is on the team to do it. That really would be a bizarre note to have on them. I mean, look, LeBron is what he is at this point, but that would be just a bizarre quirk to have on LeBron's career here, that he led a team to a 3-0 lead and couldn't finish. It was the first team in history. We're a long way from that. Yeah, I guess we're not a long way from that. We're 2 games away from that. And you still got 2 games to get one if you're LA. Just got to split the next 2, and one of them is at home. But I do think it's going 7. I do like the Rockets. So we'll see here how many game 7s we get. I know we're not hoping for one in Orlando, Detroit. I hope Orlando can close that out. Let Franz Wagner rest up and get ready for game 1 of the second round. That would be absolutely beautiful. Let's hope that happens. So we'll see what Chris Massaro thinks about these games, some NFL, some Major League Baseball, horse racing. There's plenty. He can do it all, so we will do it all next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. Should have been more podcast. Professional bettor, he's been on before, and he joins us once again. It is Chris Massaro. Chris, Derby weekend, NBA playoffs. It is a great time of the year. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just got to Vegas last night. Ready to roll today. It's an exciting weekend. You got Kentucky. You got the Oaks. You got Kentucky Derby. You got so many different playoff games. And a lot of these series, unusually, you know, the first round, it's usually some sweeps or some 4-1s. But we got some great action, especially in the hockey. All the series are 3-2. If you look for Friday night, you got 3 series, 3-2. And all the series of pick'ems. The NBA series are dragging on too, which is kind of good, because I know you've had this take, and I agree with you that the first round should probably be best out of 5. But hey, we got some exciting series, some back and forth, some upsets potentially, and yeah, it's a great time to be watching the games, betting the games, and having a take on it. So yeah, it is a great time of year.
Absolutely, and we get 3 games on Friday here, 3 game 6s. We'll start with the one that interests me most, and they're all kind of interesting, but the Magic, just because my future ticket, I didn't think they were going to win game 5, wasn't surprised they lost. Actually, the fact that they were more competitive than, you know, the line in that game was not as close as maybe the final score, but it gives you a little hope they didn't get destroyed. Your thoughts here, Detroit laying 3.5, does Orlando close this out, or we play a game 7?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it from before game 5, and I couldn't understand the line, probably like most people, and then sure enough, you flip the game on, and Pistons are up 13 early. I thought that big 3 at the end of the half by Orlando to cut it to 6, you know, gave them some momentum. They rode that momentum, cut it to 1 right away. And, You know, I played Orlando in that game, getting the points. I was a little nervous. I got off half the play at halftime because I just couldn't see it. You know, just, you know, one of those games, it's too many points. It's not too many points. But what I found interesting was that before game five, the Pistons were plus 220 to come back and win the series when they figured to be favored in all three games. And here we are again, they're favored. Can you trust them? You got a little bit more out of Durin last night, which was nice to see. He's had that head-scratching situation with puppy love, girlfriend, Angel Reese. We're not sure if that's what it is or not, but the guy has not played with the aggression he played all year. You have to go back. The only two times he did not score in double digits were two games where he only played 12 minutes against the Spurs and the Wizards way back in early March and early February. And he had two games in this series already where he's been in single-digit scoring, just not the same player. He needs to be Robin to, Cade Batman. We'll see if that could continue. I don't have a play on this game because I have so many big futures on the Pistons that were tied to Michigan for basketball, Indiana for football. I'm hoping they can just pull it out that I can take a piece of Orlando for a game seven with the points, maybe squeak out with both. Tough to trust Detroit to get on the road. They've thrown some major clunkers in this series. I'm going to pass on the game. Hopefully Detroit gets the win and then I can, have a little leeway or a little, whatever give and take for the game seven. I can't trust Detroit on the road, especially as favorites.
This was almost very, troubling times here for the Cavs. If they had lost that game five, it'd be hard to believe they'd be facing elimination on game six. It looked for a minute like the Raptors were actually going to go up 3-2. How about here? Same thing, 3.5-point road favorite. Do we get a game seven?
Yeah, I definitely like Toronto here. What's up with Ingram? I'm not sure his injury status. I feel like the game might have flipped a little bit when he went out. It was 74-67, and Toronto had the ball, and then the announcer said that Ingram wasn't going to return. That game was way high scoring, unbelievable. They scored like 50 more points than they scored the previous game. I would lean towards Toronto here. They have a really good home court, underrated home court advantage, got a solid coach. I think they push it to game seven. I would definitely take the points. I don't know if I think they can get the win, too. I would definitely be on Toronto with the points here. I don't have any futures on either one of these teams. I was talking on a couple different shows this week. It's like I feel like we need like another team to come out of nowhere. Maybe it's Philly against against Boston. We'll see what happens in game six. But it just seems like Boston was even money to win it. I just don't think Boston's good enough to win it. Maybe it's the Knicks. Detroit's playing like who knows. And then you got these two long shot teams, Toronto and Orlando. Could they pull through? I'm not a believer in Cleveland. I don't think you are either. The James Harden situation year after year after year, it just doesn't seem to be, he just never comes through in the clutch. And this team doesn't play any defense anymore since they got Harden. It's almost like they've taken on the personality of James Harden, which isn't a good thing come playoff time. I'd be on Toronto plus the points, and I just think the East is seriously wide open. It's not as easy as Boston minus like 115 to get there. I don't see that as a viable bet.
All right, the Rockets looking to make history here. No team in the NBA has ever come down 3-0. And I said this when they were down 3-0. You know what? If anyone was ever going to do it, at some point somebody's going to do it too. Couldn't it be the team that was like the minus 900 series favorite before the series began? So this was not a typical, 3-0 series lead. I was surprised actually how many people wrote off Houston before game four, figured they'd quit. I think they win tonight, and I think game seven would be a coin flip, and I actually think they win game seven. I think the Rockets are going to pull this off. Where do you stand with it with LA being a 3.5-point
dog
here?
I agree with you. I tweeted out after game five that I think the first time ever a 3-0 deficit's going to be overcome, and I also think that the coach that overcame the deficit's going to get fired. The end of that game, game five, was completely ridiculous. The Rockets have this big lead. They were almost playing like the Princeton-style four-corners offense. They had no one to actually take control of the situation. It looked like a bunch of junior high kids. No one wanted to take the shot. They ended up like just throwing up lunacy shots with 2 seconds on the shot clock, very low, low percentage shots. They almost blew the game. Luckily for the Rockets, no one could make a shot for the Lakers either. They had a bunch of wide open looks from three, Reeves, LeBron, all clanked out. So I know you have that Lakers sweatshirt on, but I think this could happen. And I think for one, I definitely like the Rockets in game six. There's a good chance that, you know, LA figures, hey, we're not going to get this game six. We got to rest LeBron. He's playing more minutes than he's ever played in such a short period of time. They've had a depleted bench, a lot of guys playing a lot of extra minutes. I could see the Lakers just maybe passing on this game. You know, you get a short number for the Rockets. The Rockets definitely look like the better team. Think about the game they blew last Friday night. You know, total mayhem there. So they should have been, you know, they should be up in this series instead of down. I think they might punt on the game. I think the Rockets are a good bet in game six. And I do think the Rockets are going to pull it out in game seven. You know, I don't think Luke is coming back to save them. And this team, this Lakers team looks old, tired. And I think the Rockets are catching a little momentum here, feeling that, hey, they could be the first team to go 0-3 to 4-3 and win the series.
Yeah, and the LeBron conversations about being the first player to blow a 3-0 lead, that will be tiered, depending on which side you come on, down on the LeBron side, which, look, I see both sides of it, but he's still one of the great all-time players. But that will be mentioned, that LeBron was part of the first 3-0 comeback. That would be amazing if he's part of it.
Like last week, everyone was saying, this is adding to LeBron's legacy. He's taking a team, you know, to new depths with nobody on his team, and he's going to win a playoff series. Now he might be the only guy to add that to his legacy of blowing the series. I mean, the fact
would have been
that
better off getting swept. They would have been better off losing in five or getting swept.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the Rockets are even in this position. I mean, I was talking with our buddy Doug Kazarian a couple of games earlier series. Bronny was getting legitimate playoff minutes. Bronny, what is happening that the Rockets, what they got, five or six top 10 draft picks on their team, they can't put away old man LeBron and his son and some guys that would never be in playoff situations on many other teams in the league. It's just shocking to me that the Rockets have had this much trouble.
Yep, it really is amazing. All right, the Derby. What do you like? What have you bet? What's kind of your overview of this race?
Well, I feel like there's five horses that can win the race, and surprisingly, it's the sum. I'm not including Renegade or Further Ado, which are the two favorites. The five horses I think that can win the race are Commandment, the number six, long shot play, the seven, Dan and Bourbon. That's the Japanese horse. I think So Happy, Mike Smith rode California horse from Mark Glatt. That could be the leader turning for home. You never want to have the leader in the Kentucky Derby turning for home, not on your ticket. I also feel like Chief Wallaby, a horse I've been on the entire year. I have had a 14-1 future market bet on Chief Wallaby. He's adding blinkers, which is a little concerning, but he has all the talent in the world, trained by Bill Mott, Junior Alvarado, who had Sovereignty that won the Derby last year. And then the 15-horse emerging market, Flavian Pratt, who's been all over in the money finishes in these Triple Crown races, trained by Chad Brown, Hall of Fame trainer. So those are the five I think that can win it. I'm not sure, you know, what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm not good enough to pick the five. I mean, you could box those five in a dollar super box, cost you $120 if I was that good to figure out the five that could win it. I just don't think Renegade with the one post can win it. And I don't like Further Ado out in the 18 hole, a horse that wants to show speed, who's going to be tracked on both sides, speed on, you know, both sides of them going to the front. I think that race he had in the Bluegrass, you know, very impressive race, but he wasn't facing much. He had it all his own. And I think there's going to be too much pace pressure. So I think that the situations, the way the race lines up, Further Ado and Renegade, the two of the favorites, I don't feel can win the race. Maybe they could hit the board, but I will be playing. My three favorites are going to be Dan and Bourbon, the seven, Commandment, the six, and Chief Wallaby, the 12, with Emerging Market as my 3A. 3B choice. Those are my four top picks. I'm going to be playing them on top in some supers. Two long shots I do want to mention before we go here on the Derby. I do like the fact that this race is going to be full of pace, and you want to find a long shot bomb that could hit the super. Two of those shots I think are the 11, Incredibolt, who ran two really solid races. He had one clunker at Gulfstream, but maybe he just didn't like the surface at Gulfstream. And then the other one is Golden Tempo, trained by Cherie DeVoe and Jose Ortiz rides. That's one of the best combos you're going to get in horse racing. This horse is sitting currently at 49-1. He's coming into his own. He's going to be dead last probably halfway through the race, but with all the speed and the massive closer that he is, there's a good chance he's going to be passing a lot of horses late. And to get the, you know, to get a 49-1 shot to hit the board, maybe in third or fourth in a super with some of the other horses I mentioned, you know, that's how you get paid on Derby Day. So just look out for those two long shots: Incredibolt the 11, Golden Tempo the 19.
You got any Derby traditions? Where will you watch the race? What do you do on Derby Day?
I've been going to the Wynn for a lot of years. It's a lot of fun over there. It's the same people that reserve the seats every year. Mick Cronin, the coach of UCLA basketball, usually shows up. And, you know, lately in the last few years, we've had Coach McDermott as well. So hopefully both those guys will be there tomorrow. They love the horses, plus the regular crew. We got Paul Bovey will be making an appearance, and a few other friends of mine. So we'll be over at the Wynn all day tomorrow, all day today for Oaks, all day tomorrow for the Derby.
Are you excited for the Red Sox to turn their season around? What do you think happens the rest of the way here? What is the state of affairs with the Boston Red Sox?
Oh, it is funny. You know, last year was such a fun year. You know, came out of nowhere. Everyone had some big long shot tickets on the Red Sox division and playoffs. And, you know, what does the ownership do after all that good-hearted fun and the run against the Yankees in the playoffs? They do absolutely nothing. We signed Sonny Gray. You know, we take the money that we were supposed to give either to Bregman or Alonso, and sign, you know, Ranger Suarez. It's just not what we wanted. There's been no hitting. The team has 123 runs scored all year, but 17 came in one game. So that puts them down at the bottom with the Mets and the Phillies, two other high-profile, high-expensive payroll teams. You know, no one's as bad as the Giants. They only have, like, 95 runs. But I don't know what this Red Sox team is doing. Crochet's on the IL now. You know, people like me, like I'm an old guy, get off your, you know, dad, get off my lawn type of guy. I'm just tired of what the franchise has become. It's, you know, it's all about marketing and the yellow jerseys and the green jerseys. And, you know, it's just an asset in the portfolio of John Henry now. And the tides have really turned. I mean, everyone is despising John Henry, Sam Kennedy. You know, they fired Cora the other day. Friend of mine was playing golf with Jason Veritek the other day, and they Veritek made a comment like they tried to offer him something, and he kind of, I guess, put the kibosh on any side of offer. You know, I think it's a sinking ship right now, and I don't know if John Henry cares, because the new way to make money for the Red Sox is they just sell the ballpark. They know they're going to get opposing fans for the majority of the games. Summertime comes around, you're going to get the tourist attraction. That stadium, you know, Fenway Park's going to be filled up to, it might not be jam-packed like it was, you know, in the glory days, but they're still going to get 25,000 to 30,000 every night. Highest ticket prices, highest concessions, highest parking. And it's just not, it's just not the way it was. I mean, I don't want to be like I said, the old guy, get off my lawn, but you had an opportunity to build off last year with an ace pitcher, some young guys coming up in the rotation, and you did absolutely nothing on offense. And if you look at what they've done over the last 10 years, trading Mookie Betts, trading Rafael Devers, letting Bregman go, you know, not even going back to John Lester, they just really have not paid the right people. And it's just a disaster right now. And just not, it's not a fun team to watch, and it's painful to watch. They have no excitement, no home runs, and I think it's a sinking ship. They're what, 12-19, or 12-19 is basically one, they're last in the American League. So I think the ship is sailed on this season, and you know, kind of good, because I'm not a fan of anything ownership's doing right now.
Yeah, it used to be the good old days, because the Yankees don't operate like they used to anymore, and they've got good teams, they're good pitching, but you know, it used to be the Yankees and the Red Sox. It was an all out arms race for every available free agent trade, whether it was A-Rod or Schilling. It was just always, it's like both were the Dodgers and the Junior Dodgers just going head to head, and it's just, man, it's not like that anymore.
Yeah,
I mean,
just one quick thing. Even last year at the trade deadline, the Red Sox needed anything for a pitcher, anything for a starting pitcher. They go after Joe Ryan, doesn't go through. So what do? They take all the prospects that they got in the Devers deal, which everyone was complaining about, but they got that kid Tibbs, and then they trade him to the Dodgers for Dusty May. Dusty May was like a, a mop-up guy for the Dodgers. That was their big move down the put and the push. And what does Tibbs do? A guy hits a home run every day for in the minors for the Dodgers. He's going to be a star player. It's just the Italian evaluation, the ownership, and Craig Breslow has been just an epic failure as the GM for the Red Sox. So I know to your point, you know, you're upset the Yankees haven't, you know, they haven't won it, but at least their team's exciting. They hit some home runs. You got a star player in Judge. You got Schlitter. Sure. He's seems to be up and coming. We all have him. I have him for Cy Young, and you have a great bet with Rice for MVP. So at least you got some home run hitters and some exciting players on the Yankees.
Yeah, but at least the Red Sox have won, what, three since the Yankees have last won? Or two, I guess, since the Yankees have won one, right? Because 09, the Yankees won, then in 13 and 18. So, I mean, Red Sox have still won the last two, which, you know, for people of a certain age, say the Red Sox have won two of the last three and three of the last four World Series among the two. It's different. To me, the Patriots are a fade next season. 9.5 wins, you look at their schedule. All of the first-place teams, so that's Jags, that's Broncos, they play the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Lions, the Bears, the Packers, the Vikings, the Bills twice. Throwing the Super Bowl hangover, the schedule being much harder, the Vrabel stuff, I think the Patriots under 9.5 is a very strong play. Plus 165 to miss the playoffs, the same thing. What's your take on the whole situation?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, whether Vrabel just coaches, it still lingers over the players. There's rumors today that a lot of the players have, you know, raised eyebrows about what's going on. And, you know, he made comments about, you know, Stevenson saying this or, you know, guys saying that. And then, you know, all this stuff breaks out. I agree with you. The schedule is going to be very tough. And I'll tell you right now, if they don't get A.J. Brown, I don't know what this offense is going to look like. They didn't do much in the draft. I mean, they got him some protection. The tackle from Utah looks very good. There's some great videos of him going against David Bailey, shutting him down. So I think that's going to help. You know, the edge rusher from Illinois, that's great. The defense isn't the issue. The offense, I know Drake May had this good year, but they need some sort of explosive players. They need a top receiver. It seems like they're the only team in the league that refuses to have a top 10 receiver, let alone a top 50 receiver. You know, they just never have that star player. They drafted the kid from our Notre Dame who has potential, but he has two knee surgeries. So that's a big question mark. And I'm just nervous. If they don't pull this A.J. Brown thing off, they're just going to be in the same boat again. Just, you know, not giving Drake May much of an opportunity to really grow upon his second year and, you know, have some marquee players to throw to. So, but I agree with you. The schedule is going to be tough. First place schedule, that's always always an issue. I'm trying to find somebody to jump from, take that Patriots leap. Everyone's talking about the Giants. Sure. Could it be Tennessee? Could it be New Orleans? You know, those are the things you try to look for. I haven't, you know, put my finger on it yet, but I would agree. I would think the Patriots are a fade. Even Brady, when they went to the Super Bowl their first year, 2001, the next year, 2002, they were 8-8 and missed the playoffs. So I could definitely see them missing the playoffs with that schedule. Buffalo is still going to be good. The one factor that they do have is they have Miami and the Jets, although the Jets should improve a little bit, but no quarterback, and Miami looks like they're just tanking for a quarterback for next year.
Last one, the three Friday NHL games, Sabres and Bruins, Vegas and Utah, and then Lightning, Canadiens too, and then Flyers and Hurricanes starts on Monday. Anything you like NHL for Friday?
Yeah, I'm going to be rooting for my Bruins. I have the Bruins at 100-1 or something ridiculous for the East, so I'm hoping they can pull this one out. I have the Flyers at 500-1 for the Cup, so that was a nice win the other night, overtime game. And how about this VGK Utah series? Just unbelievable action, overtime games. Both crowds are just out of control. That should be a good one. It's going to be tough for Vegas to win three straight. So I would lean Utah in that game, probably forcing a game seven. And Montreal seems like they've taken control of the series against Tampa, up 3-2. The young kids going against the veteran team. I think I'd ride with Montreal to get the job done there. Tampa had their shot a couple times. I'm shocked that they're in this position down 3-2, but they are at home. But we'll see. I lean towards Montreal. I lean towards Utah, and I'm just going to root for my Bruins. Hopefully they can force a game seven.
Chris Massaro at Real Gage. Where else can we find you?
I'm always on once a week with Doug and Mike Carver over at Betting Weekly Studios, giving my takes on, you know, once a week, giving some takes on some NBA stuff and just ranting about things I don't like. So if you can put up with me, there's usually some humor in it at some point. You know, I like to complain about the bad beats just like anyone else. And yeah, follow me on Twitter at Real Gage. Again, humor, try to be humorous. Some people find it funny. Some people get upset, but it's always in good fun.
All right, Chris, appreciate it.
Anytime, Will. Thanks a lot.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. We will be back on Monday. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Kentucky Derby. See you then.